The 13th Sunday after Pentecost. The first lesson is taken from Jeremiah chapter 15. Lord, you understand. Remember me and care for me. Avenge me on my persecutors. You are long-suffering. Do not take me away. Think of how I suffer reproach for your sake. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. For I bear your name, Lord God Almighty. I never sat in the company of revelers, never made merry with them. I sat alone because your hand was on me, and you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unending and my wound grievous and incurable? You are to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. If you repent, I will restore you, that you may serve me. If you utter worthy, not worthless words, you will be my spokesman. Let this people turn to you, but you must not turn to them. I will make you a wall to this people, a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you to rescue and save you, declares the Lord. I will save you from the hands of the wicked and deliver you from the grasp of the cruel. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson today is taken from Romans chapter 12. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good would it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Well, I greet you in the strong name of Jesus once again this morning. A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I drove to Tennessee to see the full eclipse of the sun. It was a marvelous sight. You know, God's wonders on display. For 2 minutes and 39 seconds, we experienced the sun being blocked out in the middle of the day. marvelous. It was an experience that was well worth the hassle and cost of getting there and getting a hotel and fighting the crowds and the traffic in order to see. Would I do it again? Absolutely I would. Would I recommend it to someone who has maybe prone to road rage? Probably not. Because that trip was a test of our patience. I mean, after the eclipse was over, it took 45 minutes just to begin moving from my parking place. And then it was 3 hours back to our hotel 50 miles away. And then for 2 days after that, we experienced times of bumper-to-bumper traffic because of the eclipse people, as they called them. Now, I think I'm a fairly patient person, except behind the wheel. My idea of driving is to get from point A to point B as fast as the law and conditions allow. And so in this traffic, I had to rely on my wife to keep me calm. You know, they say patience is a virtue. But the rest of us say, why can't hurry up be a virtue? Because patience is not ingrained in us human beings. In the American society today, we have almost instant everything, don't we? I mean, we have fast food, we have instant communication, we have instant pictures on our cell phones, we have fast access to information, we have bullet trains, we have instant shopping that drones will deliver to you. I mean, it seems like the younger the generation, the less patience that they have. I guess it's because they grew up in this instant society that we have. You know, they can have whatever fast. And if it isn't, that's a problem. And to compound that, most people want it the same way, which causes delays. And that's a problem. Unfortunately, that impatience transfers into our spiritual life too. You know, we want God to move as fast as we think He should. It's like the guy who prays, Lord, please give me patience. And give it to me now! You know, I read one writer who coined the phrase, I think he coined the phrase, microwave Christian. You know, they want fast answers to their prayers. They want fast solutions to their problems. They want fast spiritual growth. The dilemma is, God doesn't work on our schedule. In fact, God works outside of the parameters that we know of time references altogether. God knew that humans had this built-in impatience. And that impatience can be traced right back to sin. The sin of selfness. Because when you really think about it, all sin is selfish in nature. It's all about what we want, not what God wants. And we want what we want when we want it. We want to be in control. We don't like laws and rules restraining us. We have our own schedule, and we don't like it when it can't be done on our timetable. Well, what happens when things don't go our way? What happens when we have to wait? What's our reaction? For example, maybe there's something that you've been praying to God for Him to do in your life. Okay, maybe it's relief from some sort of illness, or maybe it's the reconciliation of a loved one, or maybe it's the receipt of a job offer, or maybe it's just relief from the mounting debts that we have. You know, you've been praying and praying and praying, and your natural instinct is to become frustrated because you don't see anything happening. What do you do? Well, it seems to me you have several options. One, you can get angry with God, and many people do at this point. They say, God's not listening to me. He's not answering my prayer. What good does it do to pray anyway? Maybe there's not even a God to listen. And of course, Satan's right there whispering in our ear, you don't need any God. You know, he wouldn't care for you anyway. I mean, what kind of God would let you suffer like this? You can take care of yourself. You can do it yourself. And then they have a tendency to kind of walk away from the church. Or maybe even walk away from God altogether. How many people have you known that did that? How many of us here have had a temptation to do just that? Now, another reaction that we could have is just say, look, I've done all I can. Just kind of sit idly by, go into a sort of a mental coma, if you will. You know, I've prayed, I've done what I can do, no more interaction with God, no persistent dialogue with God. The problem with that approach is that's not what God wants you to do. Nor does it last very long. Because like I said, we're compelled by nature to do something, even if it's on our own terms. Well, I submit another way to approach this is to try patience. Try patience and wait for God to act. Now, that doesn't mean going into some mental coma, but it means being productive in our patience. Now, St. Paul wrote in our second lesson today from Romans 12. In verse 12, he said, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. We have the ability to embrace a fruit of the Spirit, patience. If we believe in God, if we believe that Jesus is our Savior, we have to believe that He didn't just set this world spinning and then disappear. We have to believe that He cares for us. We have to believe that He provides for us. He loves us. We have to trust that He has our best interest at heart because He loves us. I don't have to tell you how many places in God's Holy Scripture that He says and promises that He will be with us, that He will care for us, that He will provide for our needs, and that He loves us. But in our impatience, we get tired of waiting. Well, our message today is let's try patience. Now, as I said, patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, as highlighted by Paul in his letter to the Galatians, chapter 5. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, some translations translate this word patience into forbearance. Or another translation is long-suffering. For those scholars out there, this would be a good time to go to the Greek original word. The Greek original word is a word that means long temper. Long temper. In other words, it means that we should have a long and slow temper toward God, toward each other, toward ourselves. It calls for us to ask for God's grace once again. Patience while we wait for God to act. Notice that I said it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of John or the fruit of Jill or the fruit of Frank or the fruit of Susie. Because we can't manufacture this patience ourselves. It comes from God, and God will give it to anyone who asks for it. And so the first thing we have to remember while we wait is that we're not alone in our waiting. God hears us. He's with us. And He'll see us through it. What did Paul say was linked with patience in our lesson today? Let me read it again. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. We can have joy in our hearts because we know that Jesus has secured our eternal life. And there's nothing that can separate us from His love for us. And so we can be faithful in our prayers because we know there is a God and we know that He hears our prayers. And He even helps us to pray. Paul, in chapter 8 of Romans, he said, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. We just sang that in the first song. What did he say? In all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. With good things, with bad things, in pleasant times, in times of suffering. That means He can take a time of suffering and work to some kind of good in it. We might not see it right away, but we trust that He is working for our best interest because He loves us. That doesn't sound to me like a God that's dispassionate and unhelpful. And Paul continues. He says, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I dare say that neither will your present waiting or your present suffering separate you from the love that is in Christ Jesus. And so we can be productive in our waiting. We need to remember that when we think we're waiting for God to do something, it's really Him waiting for us, or waiting for some circumstance to happen that will fulfill His plan so that He can answer our prayer. You know, in the first lesson today from the prophet Jeremiah, he said that God is long-suffering with us. He said, Lord, You understand. Remember me and care for me. Avenge me on my persecutors. You are long-suffering. Do not take me away. Think of how I suffer reproach for Your sake. We owe everything to God, God's mercy and patience with us. After all, it's we who sin and fall short of His standards. It's we who move away from Him. It's we who disregard His values and His laws. But He loves us. And He wants to bring us along in His image. And He wants to bring us along in His timing, His perfect timing. He waits for us to come around. He waits for us to come to His will, kind of like the prodigal son. And because He works outside of the concept of time, and because He can see for eternity, He can see the big picture, it appears to us that He's slow in answering our prayer. But no. As Peter said in his second letter, he said, but do not forget this one thing, friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And so, instead of us becoming frustrated or angry, or despondent as we wait for God to answer our prayer, we can be productive. You see, patience comes with faith. Our faith can be strengthened by re-examining our trust in God, taking the focus off us and what we want, and putting it on God. It's the waiting, folks. It's the waiting. It's the delays. It's the examining and making us aware of our own impatience that God works to restore our faith and hope in Him. Waiting is not waste in God's economy. We look for ways that God is using His time in some way to act for our good. We can be persistent in our prayers for relief, and that's what He wants. Because maybe He wants our attitude to change over time so that our prayers become more in line with His will. And that may be the trigger to unleash His answer for us. And we can focus on what He's already done for us instead of what He hasn't done for us. We can thank Him for all the blessings that He's already had come our way. And we can help other people have patience while they wait for relief. They can see our patience as we wait and therefore receive hope and receive encouragement from us. You know, God gave us the perfect example of patience. As the writer of Hebrews said in chapter 12, he said, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." You see, folks, when we're patient, it allows us to focus on Jesus instead of ourselves, which is exactly where it should be. And so our message for today is that when we become tired of waiting for God to act, instead of becoming frustrated, instead of becoming angry, try patience. Asking God for His patience, a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And when you do, you'll find this calming, this soothing, this relaxing peace will come over you. And you'll find yourself becoming closer to God. And isn't that what we should all be striving for anyway? Amen.